If you looked on the calendar, you know that the theme that was chosen for today's Mass is, Lord, what about him? Lord, what about him? Question that Peter asked Jesus. But before we get to the theme, let me first note that our hearts are filled with joy today, because this is the first public Mass we're allowed to have in over 2 months. The last public Mass we had, I looked it up, it was March 20th. Today's May 22. And it was a thematic Mass. We were all gathered. In fact, the whole choir was here that day, but not many other people came because everybody was afraid of the surge that was in the news. And right after that Mass, although we didn't know it was going to happen, we were put back into ECQ shutdown. So in the middle of Lent, or just a week before Holy Week, we were shut down again. And we spent our Holy Week and our Easter week and the whole season of Easter in the shutdown quarantine. Just like the apostles in the upper room. So I want to read this liturgically rather than just historically or medically. Here we are. It's the last day before Pentecost, the last day in the upper room, the last day before we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we get this good news that now we can have public Mass again. It's as if the prayers of our novena have resulted in this new stage, this new opportunity for us to go forth. Of course, we have to be careful. The gifts of the Holy Spirit tell us to be prudent, tell us to be wise, tell us to be understanding, use the gift of counsel, so it's not as if we're supposed to be reckless now or foolish, but we are supposed to go forth. We have freedom to go forth and proclaim publicly that the Lord is risen. Alleluia. So that's the circumstance we're in now. First public Mass, the last Mass here of the Easter season. Of course, the last day of Easter is really tomorrow, but we don't have Mass here on Pentecost. So this is the last Mass in which we'll have the Paschal candle here in the sanctuary. It doesn't mean that after the season of Easter, we just go back to the way things were. That's exactly the wrong understanding of Easter and of Pentecost. Easter is the season that prepares us to go forth from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth and proclaim the risen Lord. That's why it seems so fitting to have a public Mass at least at the end of Easter, at least at the end of the novena, if not at the beginning. So the end of our quarantine is a sign that we go forth. Okay, now the theme of the Mass, the chosen theme for today is, Lord, what about him? And I think this theme can give us some wisdom for our going forth, our going forward. This question of Peter comes in the context of this appearance of the risen Lord to the seven apostles who went fishing. We heard some of it yesterday. We heard some of it actually earlier in the Easter season. This is the very last part of the episode. In fact, these are the last verses of the whole Gospel of John. But Peter, at the end of yesterday's Gospel, heard Jesus say to him, follow me. That was the end of yesterday's Gospel. Follow me. And that was Jesus' clue, Peter's clue, to follow him. So he did. That's good as far as it goes. But at the beginning of today's gospel, it says Peter turned and saw the disciple following whom Jesus loved, the beloved disciple, John the Evangelist. The first warning is Peter turned. Why did he turn? He was following Jesus. Doesn't it remind you of Lot's wife? Remember, the angels told Lot and his family, okay, go, leave behind the cities that are being destroyed, go forward. Lot's wife turned back. She looked back, and that was her downfall. So here's Peter following Jesus, and then he turns. Big mistake. He sees John, Peter sees John, and then he says, Lord, what about him? At least he turns back to the Lord to ask the question. He's not completely ruined, but Jesus corrects him and says, well, what if I want him to remain until I come? What does it have to do with you? It's none of your business, is basically what Jesus tells him. It's none of what concern is it of yours? It's a very hot morning, isn't it? I'm dripping onto my book here. What concern is it of yours? So Jesus is warning Peter that in following him, he must not let the others who follow him interfere with his own following of the Lord. It's a very important piece of wisdom for us as we go forth in the power of the Spirit, as we go forth from the Easter season. This is the last gospel before Pentecost, and we're being warned not to let anything or anyone interfere with our following of the Lord. This does not mean that we're not supposed to be concerned about our brothers and sisters. Of course we are. The second great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. But the first commandment is love the Lord with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first commandment is always first. Follow me is the first commandment. The second commandment is, okay, love your neighbor. Don't let love of neighbor interfere with love of God. Make it second. Don't let concern about your neighbor prevent you from following Jesus. It's second. I'd like to just highlight two of the ways in which love of neighbor or concern about a neighbor can interfere. The two are control and envy. These are two traps that we can fall into when we pay too much attention to what our neighbors are doing. Control and envy. Control is when we think we have to make other people do the good thing we want them to do. Now, we might have good ideas. Probably we do. But do they come from God? Or are they just our own good ideas? We want people to do good things. We want people to be good people. We want them to be holy. We want them to join the community. We want them to go to Mass on Sunday. We want them to pray. Sure. But it's not up to us to make people do all these good things. They have to decide for themselves. We can inspire them. We can instruct them. We can guide them. We can offer them all sorts of support. But we can't make them do anything. Even God doesn't make people do things. God doesn't control us. He invites us. He calls us. He inspires us. He strengthens us. He warns us, but he doesn't control us. The Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts, who gives us all the gifts, does not force us, does not control us. He doesn't make us bear fruit. It's up to us. So don't try to control anyone. Today we're going to be praying for the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's the last day of the novena. The fruits come as a result of cooperation with the gifts. The fruits are results. They're not determined by us. We're not in control of the fruit. We're not in control of the Holy Spirit either. Okay, so one of the dangers is exaggerated sense of our control over others. The other danger I just want to point out, and this is not only a danger for Easter and Pentecost, this is a danger all the time, envy. Envy, one of the capital sins. Envy is when we look at what other people have or what other people are doing, and we feel sadness that we don't have what they have or we don't do what they do. We let what good things are happening in the lives of others make us unhappy. Bad idea. When we see the work of God in someone else, the right response is, alleluia. Thanks be to God. There's some good coming forth from the life of another. Thanks be to God, he's doing something good in someone else. Amen. That's what we should be saying. But very often we look at what other people are doing or achieving, the success they're having, the fruit that they have in their life, and we say, well, what happened? Why don't I have that fruit? Why don't I have that success? Why don't I look as good as he does or as she does? Lord, what about him? Why does he get more than I do? What about him? Why is he doing the same thing I'm doing and he gets more? That's all envy. And it's a disaster for the spiritual life. Don't let that temptation become sin. We'll all be tempted to envy, of course. Because when we see somebody looking good, looking better than we are, when we see somebody following the same path we're following and getting more fruit, we'll be tempted to envy. Nip it in the bud. Stop that as soon as you see it. This is what Jesus says. When Peter says, Lord, what about him? Jesus says, well, what if I have something else in mind for him? What if I want him to live longer than you? What if I want him to be more successful than you? What difference does it make to you? You follow me, Jesus says. Your responsibility is to follow me, not to make anybody else follow me and not to look better than anyone else. Lord, what about him? Is an indication that Peter might be about to fall in envy or control or jealousy. Lord, what about him? I can see this trap. Just to give one practical example from current affairs, in the discussions that people are having now about the vaccines, everybody's looking at everybody else. Oh, is he going to be vaccinated? Is she vaccinated? Are they going to be vaccinated? Am I vaccinated? But don't let all that noise disturb your spiritual life. If someone wants to be vaccinated, let them be vaccinated. Just let people be themselves. Let people have freedom and do the good that they know that they should do. In general, there are whole categories of people that probably should be vaccinated. Even the church recommends it, for sure, the frontliners, for sure, the seniors, people who are vulnerable, and let it happen. controversy that people are stirring up, don't control other people's lives. Don't force people to be vaccinated and don't prevent them from being vaccinated. Okay? Don't ask what about him. Make a decision for yourself. Make a decision for your own family, your own loved ones. But don't complicate other people's lives and don't complicate your life by getting all worked up about whether people are vaccinated or not. I'm trying to make a practical application of this gospel. Lord, what about him? Well, what if I want him to stay until I come? What if I want him to be vaccinated so he doesn't get sick? Well, okay. okay, God's will be done. Okay, so here we are. My point is, this theme is, don't let this question, Lord, what about him, interfere with your own following of the Lord. Don't let it interfere with your own faithful discipleship. Jesus calls each one of us, follow me. He says it to each one of us, follow me. If other people follow in the same way, fine. If they follow in a different way, fine. Look at Peter and John. They were from the same town. They had the same profession. They were both fishermen. They were both followers of Jesus from the very beginning. They both ran to the tomb together on Easter morning. There were a lot of things that were the same. That might have been what gave Peter the idea that John should be doing what he was doing. Holy Spirit. This microphone is filled with the Holy Spirit all of a sudden. Okay, but maybe that's what gave Peter the idea that John was supposed to do the same thing, follow the same way. Because everything else was the same. They were together for 3 years. The point of Jesus is, maybe my plan for him is not the same as it is for you. Don't let that concern you. Don't let it distract you. Just follow me. Follow me. So he repeats, Jesus repeats the message he gave Peter at the end of yesterday's gospel. He repeats it. You follow me. This is the last word of Jesus to Peter. In fact, it's the last word of Jesus in the whole gospel. In fact, at the end of all four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, what's the very last thing Jesus says? You follow me. That's all we need to know. Follow the Lord. If it's misunderstood, because we learn here that was misunderstood by some of the disciples, they thought that John wasn't going to die. Well, okay, there's going to be misunderstandings, there's going to be misinterpretations of Jesus' word, there's going to be divergence in how people think they should follow. Well, that's all part of the historical unfolding of the call. But the root of it is the same. You follow me. You follow me. And when we celebrate tomorrow the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's so that we will have everything we need to be able to follow the Lord. We have all the gifts. We have the Spirit himself poured into our hearts so that we can go forth. We can follow the Lord. We don't have to be afraid of what anyone else is thinking, what anyone else is doing, what anyone else's call is, whatever obstacles there are in the world. What concern is it of ours? You, Jesus says, you follow me. I give you my Spirit so that you can do it. Don't worry about anything else. Amen. Hallelujah.